Would you open your Bible to Malachi chapter 3? We're going to read Malachi chapter 3, and then we're going to be going to Mark chapter 1. Always thankful to have the opportunity to preach the Word of God, and thank our pastor and the church for allowing me. Hope that I will be a blessing to you tonight. Let's read our text tonight in Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And then we go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 1 to 15. If you would know, the Old Testament, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there were like 400 years of silence. There was a gap. That God has not spoken anything. And it was like, the people went on, and then suddenly, in the New Testament, came the fulfillment of the prophecy in Malachi. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 1, says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did preach in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and all were baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of skin about his loins. And he did eat locust and wild honey, and preached, saying, there come one mightier than I after me, that latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Verse 12, and immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. And now, after the John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, God, for your goodness, Lord. And as we sang, Lord God, the arm of flesh would fail me, Lord God, and would fail us, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, even your people here, Lord God, that you would help us, Lord God, to have an understanding of your word, God. I pray, Lord God, that you speak to each and every one of our hearts, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you would give me boldness, Lord God, and help me, Lord God, to preach. And Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you would just be exalted, Lord God, and be, Lord God, magnified through this message, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that you would bless this church, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to be a blessing to your name, Lord God. And we thank you, God, again for this time that we could come to the Word of God. And Lord God, open it up, Lord God. Speak to our hearts, Lord, now. In Jesus' name this we pray. Amen. Amen. So, it was a blessing to me this morning. I was talking to a man right there behind Brother Hanep. And I said, what's your name? Oh, by the way, he introduced his name to me last week, and he was an African guy, so he has a name that is very difficult, brother, to pronounce. And I told him, do you have an English name? And he said, yes. Thank God. And I was like, could you repeat that? Thank God, that is my English name. And it was right there. And I was like, wow, that's a great accountability. You know, because if people would hear and know that your name is Thank God, they must be thankful that you're around them, right? So there was like a boy that was like pouting in a school, and like the teacher noticed him, and he said, "What's wrong? What's the matter with you?" And he said, "The parents should teach their children about their biblical name, and they should at least give them a biblical lesson about their name." And why? He said, "A boy named Abraham just took my lunch." So, what I'm saying is, it's very important. And the thing is this: our message here, there's a fulfillment of the prophecy that a messenger of God would come. And if we're gonna look at the Bible, it says in Mark chapter 1, it says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face." You know, that is what our mission also is. Before the lost would come to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, we should go before him and witness to him. So here in the life of John, he is a forerunner. He goes before God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I entitled this message, "The Herald of God." Herald means a forerunner, a proclaimer, one who introduced someone, one who published good news, and an official messenger bringing the news from the king. So in our world, I look at the recent survey. It says that 150,000 die every day. Every day. I don't know if you guys, brothers and sisters, have heard about the news of the 167 people who died in the Ukraine Airlines. They don't have any idea that they would die that day. And like many of us, we don't have any idea when we're going to die. And the thing about us is with God, because if you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are going to heaven. But what about the lost ones? They're going to go to hell. And that's why we need to be messengers of God, messengers of the Gospels. The Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." It's the same commandments. It's the same word he has for us today. So, but what can we learn from the ministry of John the Baptist? What does the Bible say about this messenger of God? And, you know, he is like a man, just a simple man like us. The Bible says that Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are. He was greatly used of God, but he was not Superman. He was not any special man. He is just a simple man, an ordinary man who have faith in an extraordinary God. So, what can we learn from him? Let's look at his life, the man and his manner of life. Every man has three basic needs, right? What are those? Food, clothing, and shelter. And let's look at what the Bible says regarding that, regarding John the Baptist. First, because I'm a Baptist, let's tackle the food. right? And it is very, very obvious now. Right now my blood pressure is like 160 over 80 because I messed up. I was like, I'm not taking care of myself. Look at this. See? It's very. So let's look at the food. Food is the fuel for the body and the spirit. Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible says, "And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locust and wild honey." How many have some of those? Locust and honey. Not one? Honey, but no locust. When Pastor James and I went to Cambodia, when you go on the street, there's a lot of people who are selling locust, grasshoppers, worms. Well, maybe it's worth the try. They're eating it. But you know, it's full of protein. That's why it helped John the Baptist, right? So he was strong. But the thing that keeps him going is really the spiritual food. John the Baptist has a physical food, which is locust and honey, and he has a spiritual food. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." And Job 23:12 said, "I have esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary food." That's how this great man of God looks at the word of God. So, yeah, we Baptists love to eat, right? But sometimes we need to also consider our spiritual food, because that would give us the strength to go on in this Christianity. You see, life in this world is not all about material things. Like Brother Hanap and I were talking just before the discipleship class, there is a spiritual battle going on around us. That's why we need to be strengthened. And we could only be strengthened by the word of God. Amen? So, and I commend the discipleship class attendees. They are very faithful in that. And, you know, it just betrays the heart of people who really wants to learn more of God. And, you know, Jesus rebukes the religious people on his time. In Matthew 15, let's look at that. If you would turn with me on Matthew 15, verse 8. The Bible says, "The people draw it nigh unto me with their mouth and honor at me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." It's harder in verse 7. It says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you." So it's like, you know, serving the Lord, having faith in the Lord is just not lip service. We just don't say, "I love you, Lord." You know, we got to follow through with our actions. And another food for John and for the believer is like what the Lord Jesus Christ said in his to the disciples. He said, "I have another food." He says, "To do the will of him that sent me." Let's look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1 regarding John the Baptist. In verse 23, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the path, the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." So, Christ has the same conviction. In John chapter 4, verse 34, he says, Jesus said unto them, "My meat." This is when the disciples is trying to ask him to, Lord, he says, therefore said the disciple, in verse 31, he says, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat." Verse 32 said, "But he said unto them, I have a meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him out to eat?" And verse 34 said, Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." So what is the most important thing for the Lord Jesus Christ? the soul of that Samaritan woman. And I think that is what should be our emphasis to in our life. Not only our physical food, of course we need that, so we could look pretty and, you know, and good. But we also need a spiritual food, and that is with the Word of God, and also in winning souls. We need to go for souls, because that is what motivates the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the disciples is like saying, I can't go on without eating. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, I can't go on without winning souls. You see the difference? The Lord has put much emphasis in reaching the lost. Secondly, his clothing. Oh, we look good. Baptists always look good, you know. And I like it too. Because if you go on other churches, those like liberals and those things, they just wear short. Sometimes there's even churches who wear pajamas. You know that? That's bad. But clothing, look at also in Mark chapter 1, we go back to our text. Mark chapter 1, verse 6, it says, and John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins. I'm not telling you to do this. But during his time, he lives in the desert, right? And it is cold out there in the desert. That's why he has to have the camel hair. Camel's hair. But here, it's good to have a suit. Like the man looks good with a suit. The ladies in their dress, you know. Believers need to be properly clothed. Men need to wear men's cloth, and women need to wear women's cloth. Why did I say that? Because Deuteronomy 22 verse, let's look at that. Deuteronomy 22 verse 5 says, Deuteronomy 22, I'm not there yet. Let's see. Deuteronomy 22 verse 5 says, thou woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. So, we need to have women wear what women wear, and men wear what men wear. I don't think anybody here, a man would come out with a dress, right? I don't think so. But the thing is, we need to be properly clothed. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 says, women adorn themselves with modest apparel. That is the trait of a Christian woman. Wear a modest apparel. But not only should we wear a modest apparel, right apparel, be clothed properly, but we should also be clothed from the power on high. That is what we really need on this time. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 15. And the Bible says that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Look at the latter part of verse 15. Luke chapter 1, verse 15, it says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. So, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. The disciples also, before they went out to preach the gospel, they were endued with power from on high. If you look with me in Luke 24, Luke 24, verse 46, and Jesus had said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behove Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That word endued means to be clothed, to be covered. Because we are not sufficient of ourselves. I don't think if we would be so confident in ourselves, we can't do anything for God. Let's look at this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5-6. This is Paul himself, man greatly used of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. The Bible says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as ourselves, but our sufficiency is what? Of God, who also had made us as able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit give life. You know, I know some people who are well versed with the Bible, but they don't have the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were trained when they were young to memorize the Torah. But when if you meet them, they don't have any compassion with souls. They don't have the Spirit of God. That's why it can never go. It has to go together, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And we cannot accomplish anything without the Holy Spirit of God and without the Word of God also. So it's combined. That's why the Lord in our salvation give us all that we need to live this Christian life. D.L. Moody said, we humans are like leaky vessels, so we need to be filled and be refilled with the Holy Spirit. So the question is, how do we get filled? I think Brother Chris Miller had some illustration. I didn't just cut everything of it. But look at the Bible regarding this. I think it's a good illustration. That the Bible says there is a river from the presence of God, right? So, and if you look at Psalms 81, this is, I believe, how you get filled. Psalms 81 and verse 10. He says, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. So if you are in the river, picture this is a barrel, and this is you. And you jump on the river. Could it be filled if it's full? If it's full of water? No, right? You got to empty itself. You got to empty it first before it gets filled. And says, open wide. It would be great if this opening would be wider. So you could be filled quickly. But first, you got to empty yourself. The thing is this. I don't know. Maybe later when you get home, try this. Open your mouth wide and see if there's something's going to come out. There will be. It's air. It's a picture of emptying yourself. And that's how the Lord would be able to fill us if we empty ourselves before Him. Number three, His dwelling place. In New York, some have houses, some have apartments, but it's good to have shelter. But during this time, John the Baptist lives in the desert, live in the wilderness. But he says he has a great, it really is necessary for him during the time because of his calling. Luke 1:80, if you would look at it, it says, and the child grew and walked strong in the spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. So from the child, John the Baptist was in the wilderness, in the desert place. So if you read your Bible, desert place is a significant place for the man of God. If you remember Moses was in the desert when he met God, right? How about David? David was pasturing when he was when God enabled him to kill a bear and a lion. And then Paul has to go to the desert to be able to learn more of God. He didn't go to the apostles and sat on the foot. He went to God and have time with him. See, the desert place is a good thing to be. I think it is the best college, best university for the servants of God. To be alone of God. Let's look at Moses. Moses and how he met God in the desert. Moses, Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Who here needs a quiet time every week, every day at least? We all need a quiet time, right? The busyness of this life. But you know, there's a survey that it's all men that was surveyed. 1,000 of them was surveyed. And 85% of them said that we spend like 1 hour and a half every week in a bathroom just to have quiet time. To get away from my wife, to get away from my kids. And that's a survey. But how good it is if you get away with God. Amen? I don't think, I of course you use the bathroom every day, but I don't want to stay there for like an hour and a half, right? So let's look at what Moses did. Moses chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 3, he says, "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw he turned aside to thee, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw nigh hither, foot of thy shoes from off thy feet, from the place wherein thou standest is holy ground." You see, Moses, in his approach to God, he did it deliberately. He said, I will now turn aside. Right? He did it purposely. He went to see God. No hesitation. Look at this. He said, "And Moses, I will not turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burned?" So when he decided to go to God, he didn't hesitate. He didn't delay. The problem with us is we decide in our hearts, "I want to meet God. I want to go in prayer." The phone rings. Somebody called. Somebody buzz on your door. And then everything is, now you forget about God. You see, there's always a competition with God and with this world. Whom do you choose would tell you, would make you a better person, a better messenger of God? So, look at verse 5, it says, "And he said, Draw not nigh hither, for put off thy shoes from off thy feet." It says, leave aside everything that is dirty. That is the picture of the shoes, right? Because he walks in this sinful world. So, he said, put aside everything. And it's a blessing in my life that when my family knows that I lock myself in the door in my room, I am communing with my God. So they don't bother me, at least for like 30 minutes. After that, they were like, "Are you done?" Right, because this life is busy, but I have that blessing at least that they would give me that time, because they know that that is important for me. So, lay aside something that is dirty. You got to confess all your sins when you go before God. See, the presence of God is a place of comfort. Like we sing the song, near to the heart of God, right? That's one of my favorite songs. It says, there is a place of comfort sweet near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. The Lord Jesus Christ invited his disciples, come ye yourselves apart, he says to the disciples. Psalm 91 talks about the secret place of the Most High. Right? Let's look at that a little bit. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God. In Him I will trust. If you are in trouble, is God your refuge? Is He the first one you call? Or you call somebody else? Because most Christians call God when there's nothing else he could do. Right? That's a bad decision though. Always go before God first. Stop treating God like a crutch. You know what a crutch is? A crutch is something that a person who is injured uses to be able to walk. Right? Stop using God as a crutch. Let Him be a part of your life every day, every moment. A crutch, you just pick it up when you need it. But we need God every day, every moment of our life. Right? So, we look at the man, his manner of life. Now we look at his mission. Let's look at John chapter 1. What is John the Baptist's mission? Look at John chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 23 says, He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And then verse 6 to 8, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. So his mission is to be a witness. He is not just an ordinary witness, he is a bold witness. He is not. You see, the thing about witnessing is you cannot whisper the name of Christ. That's why he says there's a voice crying in the wilderness. It didn't say that you have to shout. He just say express it with compassion. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Proclaim the truth that there is a Savior that was sent from God. That is the mission of a Christian too. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, if we got to look at it, so we would remember it said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Ghost. Right? And it's all you need to witness. Because He gives you, He is the power. The Holy Spirit is the power for us to be able to do our mission. Matthew 28, the Great Commission says, all power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have told you, and lo, I am with you always. The problem is with our Christianity now, we have programs. I love to sing. Even my voice is not that good. And that's why I refrain singing anymore. You know. But you see, the Bible, the Lord in His Great Commission didn't say, go ye therefore and sing to all nations. He says, go ye therefore and teach. Preach the word of God. Tell them about Christ. Nobody could be saved by singing. It's a good thing because we praise the Lord. We lift Him up. We worship Him. But that's not gonna save any soul. Some churches have soup kitchens. You know those feed people? It's good. That is all good. But you see, even the Lord Jesus Christ know that that is not going to save. We do these things because it may be an avenue for them to be rich. But if we do these things and we don't tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, this would come to nothing. The most important thing for the Lord is that we witness for Him. What caused the boldness of the Lord of John the Baptist? It is because he knew his mission. We got to remind ourselves that our mission in this world, that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came to save us, is not that we could reach others also. God did not save us to sit on the pew. God is telling us to go, ye therefore, and teach them all nations. Teach them about the gospel. John the Baptist is also bold because he knows God is alive. You know God is alive? Amen. Amen. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, Elijah was preaching. Everybody all right? Amen. Amen. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was the inhabitant of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain this year, but according to my word." We got to be able to pronounce God that and live a life that God is alive. Sometimes we let this world tell us that, just chill it. Let's just agree. The thing is, this world has become worse and worse because Christians have been silenced. We've been quiet for a long time. You gotta tell them that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. Revelation chapter 2 says it all. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 says, "These things said the Son of God who had," let me see, 118, it should be 118. "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death." Without the Lord Jesus Christ, the lost would surely go to hell. That's why we need to go and do our mission. Let's go soul winning, Christians. If you are afraid to go, we go out 2x2 on Saturdays. I know it's cold weather during this time. Maybe when it warms up, and the pastor even mentioned that maybe we could do it about like 10 in the morning so we could have a little lesson before we go. And we used to go like around 10:30, and we would partner you with somebody that is has been doing it for quite some time. So you see, the best training is to be on the job training. Sometimes we have so much education in the head, but we don't apply it. But if we train practically, be in the field, then we would be able to do our job. In his mission, he goes also in the spirit of power of Elijah. We go back to Luke chapter 1. And the Bible says, verse 15, "For he shall be great in the sight of God and sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb, in his mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. So he goes in the spirit and power of Elijah. What did Elijah accomplish? What did he do? During his ministry, Elijah did not compromise. And as he had the spirit of Elijah, John did not compromise either. He preached the truth. He preached to the king. He preached to Herod. And he said, it is not lawful for thee to have your brother's wife. You know what happened to him? His head got chopped off. He was beheaded. Elijah and Ahab accused one another and said, art thou he that troubled Israel? If you go out there and you say you're a Christian, the world will say, just, you know, lighten up and just join us. Don't talk about Jesus. You know, the thing is, we have to tell them the truth, or else they would perish, right? So, the world is saying, you are causing the problems in America. But the truth is, who is causing the trouble? The Bible teaches us regarding this problem with Elijah and Ahab, and who is telling the truth. 1 Kings chapter 16, the Bible says, let me read it for you for time's sake. 16 verse 30 and 31. The Bible says, and Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass as if he had been a lighting for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the sons of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshiped him. So who caused the trouble? It's not the man of God. It is Ahab. Amen? He did evil in the sight of God, and he married an unbeliever too, and caused him to worship an idol. That's why, young people, do not be yoked with unbelievers. God asked God to give you a believer. You need to be married to a fellow believer, or it will cause you so much heartache. You know what happened here? So, he said, but Elijah and John the Baptist were never invited in a temple. They were never invited to preach in a conference. But the Bible says they were great in the sight of God. And that is most important. I thank God for the opportunity to preach the word of God. And, you know, and God will be the judge. Because preachers ought to preach the truth. Amen? And Christians ought to preach the truth too. We cannot be silenced. Right? And we saw the mission. Lastly, we would look at the message. And the message is, Paul said to the Corinthians, he says, to communicate, forget not. A messenger ought to bring a message, right? So we are all, if you're a Christian, you are a messenger of God. Do not forget that. That is very important. So, it is good to live a holy life. That's well and good, and God asked that for us. But we still need to open our mouth. Preach the gospel. John the Baptist could have just stayed in the wilderness and enjoyed his locust and honey, you know, and hope that everybody would be saved. No, he didn't do that. He went out and preached. The kingdom of God is at hand. Well, we need to be careful, though, And that's why we need to be careful in our life, in our life, and how the manner of how we walk. And this December, I was like, every year I give out tracts to my office workers. Most of them are Jewish people. And then, maybe 2 days before Christmas, the lady that always brings the samples to the lab that where I work with, somehow didn't put all the necessary information, and there was a complaint. So I went to their department, the production department, and I told the manager, let me see the process and how you do this. So they were like looking at me like I'm a different person, you know, because I don't usually do that. And so they walked me in the process. I said, there's something wrong with that. Change this. This is how to be done. So later, I went to the back to my lab, to my office, and then the lady went back and said, and I noticed she's so quiet. I said, well, something, you all right? Something wrong? Yeah, I was not the one that to get yelled at. Who yelled at you? Somebody went to our department. And that's the first time that I heard you like that. I said, I yelled at you? I was surprised because I didn't know that my tone is to them, I'm yelling already. I'm just explaining that this is how to be done like this. And you see, the thing is, what I'm saying is, I ruined my opportunity to give them a track because of what I have done. You know what I have to do? I told them, I'm sorry. I went back to the department, to their department, and said, I'm sorry to all of you. I didn't mean it came out that way. But you see, we need to be able to humble ourselves and tell them if we did wrong. To open, we should do anything to be that Christ will be magnified in our life. You know, we can be so proud that they think that like I'm a Hitler there that's yelling at them. I said, I didn't do that. I said, yeah, you did. And we were surprised because that's the first time that we heard of you like that. And I was like, I got to apologize to all of them. And then I was able to give them tracts. That's how it works, you know. But you got to bring the message. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and unto the Greek. We got to find the opportunity to tell them about the gospel. And the message also says about repentance. Matthew chapter 3. I'm almost done. Matthew chapter 3. You know when a preacher says, I'm almost done. But really, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, in the days come John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. First thing he said is repent. Repentance is a must for salvation. If you say here that you are saved but you haven't repented of your sins, you are not saved. I hate to tell you the truth, but you are not saved. And John the Baptist says, verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. What does it mean? Bring forth repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, all things become new. If you say you got saved and there's no change in your life, you are still the same person. Sorry to tell you, that's not what the Bible says of salvation. If a person is saved, you will be changed. Amen? And also, a saved person would not be content in his sin. The prodigal son was not comfortable in the pig pen. Right? But the sow and the piglets were wallowing on it and they were happy, just, you know. And just like us, if a person is saved, you don't wallow on your sin. That is just what the trait of a saved person is. We sin. Of course, we sin sometimes, but you don't dwell in it. If you are really a child of God, you go before God and confess and say, "Lord, forgive me, for I have sinned against you." You see, sin is something that's an offense to a holy God, to our Father, to the Father, God who loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son. Why would you do something like that? That is how grave the gravity of sin. That's why we have a choice. We can avoid sin. The Bible says on 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 says, "But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his vomit again, and the sow and that was to her wallowing in the mire." It is just natural for sinners, those that are not born again, to go back to their sin. But a born-again person will not stay in his sin. And then also the message would say the judgment, warning against religion. If go to Matthew chapter 3 again, and verse 5 to 10, it says, "Then went out to him Jerusalem and Judea and all the region around about Jordan." Verse 7, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." So the Pharisees and Sadducees were like religious people. But look at what the Bible says. It says, generation of vipers. It said, children of the snake. And the snake is who? Satan. Satan, they say, the Bible is saying that they are children of the devil. So, used to be the Pharisees were good, they are separatists, you know, they just want to get out of the impurities of the Jewish religion. But then after time, they generated, like many Baptist churches. There's very few fundamental Baptist churches now is in New York, in America. Many are going liberal, you know. The Pharisees, the traits of the Pharisees, they like titles. They want to be seen of man, parade to be like, look at us, you know, good. And they are also jealous. They are full of hatred. And the Lord Jesus Christ says of them, they are whited sepulchres full of dead man's bones inside. When they come to the preaching of the Word of God, they went to John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ preaching, but they didn't go there to listen. They are there to watch. They are subtle, just like their father, the Satan. They watch you serve the Lord and find an occasion to accuse you or even harm you. You remember the viper that bit Paul? He was hiding in the woods, in the pine woods, right? And the Pharisees and Sadducees are like that too. The religious people around us, if you start preaching truth, they find problems with you. The Lord pronounced woe unto these unbelievers. Woe unto them. And they say, "Oh, but we have father. We have Abraham to our father." I have good news. I have bad news for you, children. If you are not saved, your parents cannot save you. Even though we have parents here that is faithful unto God, if you children are not saved, you yourselves need to be saved. You need to come to realize that you're a sinner and you need to ask God for forgiveness. Each one of us need to be saved individually. You cannot be saved as a family. I thank God for the families that are here that are saved. And it's a good thing because it's a great testimony. Like, I love Timothy here, as young as he is in church. I wish my children were like that before. But you see, God has his plan. So, also, on this message, of course, we find that Jesus is the Lamb of God. That's the most important thing. That's, I think, is the heart of the message of John the Baptist in the Bible. He says, the next day John said, see Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. And also it says, Jesus shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. You see, we need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 says, not by might, it means not by your own strength, not by power, not by authority of another person or king, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It is only by the Holy Spirit of God that we would accomplish the things that God wants us to do. And then lastly, Jesus will thoroughly purge his floor. Going back to that, to the text in Luke chapter, he said, he would thoroughly purge his floor. In the churches, not everyone, it's a reality that not everyone is saved. There are wheat and there are chaff. And I'm trying to find the text right here. Right there. Bring forth, verse 8, Luke chapter 3, verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of this stone to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree shall be, therefore, which bring not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. So, there will be judgment even in the churches. It will be purged. The wheat would be gathered with God, and the chaff would go through judgment. The wheat is representing the true believers, fruitful and profitable, while the chaff is empty professors. They look like wheats, but are disobedient, rebellious, and repentant. They go to church, but there is no real joy. Have you seen people like that? No real joy. No fruit of repentance. No use for Christ. That is chaff. That's because it's empty. No fruit. So, that is how the Bible tells us about John the Baptist. And I hope at this year, 2020, we would apply ourselves to our mission as messengers of God. Let's bow and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord God, for this great commission that you gave us, Lord God, and Lord God, the privilege to serve you, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that you bless in the invitation, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to make decisions, Lord. As every eyes closed and head bowed, I just want to ask you a few things. What would you do for the Lord this year? And The gospel must be preached. Will you be a herald for him? And will you have a more intimate relationship with God? If you say amen to that, would you take time in prayer and say, Lord, I want to be used of you. Let me be a messenger of the gospel. And let me have an intimate relationship with you from this day on.
All right, if we could keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. Just a short invitation here. If anyone would say, Brother Josh, I've heard this message, Brother Noel preached, and I know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you go ahead and raise your hand? Brother Josh, I know for sure that I have a home in heaven, that I'm on my way. Amen, amen. You may put down your hands. And, you know, he talked about being a witness, and we know that you must, in order to be a witness, have witnessed something. And we can't be witnesses for Jesus Christ if we've not accepted Jesus Christ. You may say, Brother Josh, I'm not sure if I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't know if I've ever had a time in my life where I've repented of my sins and turned to him. We had a lot of people raise their hands, say that they know for sure, but maybe you're here and you don't know for sure. Would you go ahead and raise your hand? Say, Brother Josh, I'm not sure if I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure if I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Go ahead and raise your hand at this time if you're not sure. Amen. I see that hand. Christians here, you've already accepted Christ as your Savior. You've already been a witness. But, you know, we have the responsibility and the privilege to witness to those around us at work, at school, in our community. How many would say, Brother Josh, I have a desire in my heart to be more of a witness in 2020, more of a desire to tell others of Jesus Christ? Would you raise your hand? I'll pray for you at this time. Amen. Hands everywhere. Amen. My hand's raised too. I know sometimes it's intimidating, but we know that we don't go through our own power. We go through the power of the Holy Spirit, as Brother Noel preached tonight. If we could all stand at this time, pianist will begin to play softly. And if you want to come down to the altar, say, Brother Josh, just come to the altar and pray to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to be a stronger witness. Maybe if you raised your hand, you're not sure if you're saved, we can have someone come, show you from the Bible how to be saved. But now's the time. Go ahead and come and ask the Lord to help you with what decision that he put on your heart. Maybe pray and ask God to give you an opportunity to witness to someone. You know, give you a conversation or an encounter where you can just put in a short word of the gospel. Tell them about what Christ has done in your life